There was a man from New Jersey whose lifelong goal it was to go to Israel, and he finally did it. He finally made it. Maybe some of you have gone and you know the feeling. And he was there in Jerusalem near the Western Wall, this area where this is the farthest point that Jews can go to pray. It's the closest thing that they can get to the Temple Mount because of years-long conflict that's going on. That's the closest they can go. And he was there and he was watching these very reverent and pious Jews go and pray. And he saw this one rabbi in particular who was going and just praying and praying and praying so fervently and so passionately, even occasionally out loud enough that he heard. He's praying in English. He even has a bit of an accent. It sounds like he might be from my neck of the woods. And he was so blessed by him. And after the rabbi was done praying, he came up to him and he asked him, he said, "Rabbi, is there any chance that you speak English?" He said, "Yes, yes, I do." And turns out he was from New York, and they ribbed each other a little bit about that. And he says, "I was so blessed by just seeing your passion and the way that you pray. And if you don't mind me asking, what is it that you were praying for today?" He says, "Well, I pray for peace. I pray for understanding. I pray for empathy on all sides. And I pray for God's wisdom." And the man was very touched. He said, that's really beautiful. And do you feel like God is answering that prayer?" And the rabbi kind of shrugs and he says, "Well, it feels like I'm talking to a wall." Maybe you, like that rabbi, maybe like me, sometimes feel, especially when we are asking God for more understanding, like we're just talking to a wall. And I hope today that we can look at Paul's prayer for the Colossae church for understanding and gain not just an encouragement of how we can pray, but some practical tips as well as we live out what it means to be lifelong learners. And that's what I want to highlight. If there's nothing else that you remember this morning, remember this. Becoming a lifelong learner takes humility. But being a lifelong learner also produces humility. And it's kind of convenient in that way. This understanding, this knowledge, this is the crux of what Paul is praying for the Colossian church. Look at verse 9. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Now, I am sure that maybe you have heard before, and we could break down the nuances of the language and why wisdom and knowledge and understanding are all different and how. Let's suffice it to say, Paul is asking for them to know more things, to become smarter, to have some enlightenment, to learn something they did not know before. Now, here's some context. Paul has never met these people. Paul has never been to this church. Unique among most of his letters, he didn't plant this church. Somebody else did. He met this guy in Rome, Epaphras. He heard about this church that was planted, maybe as a result of some of his teaching elsewhere. And he is so encouraged. But he heard about a heresy that was going on. Colossae was this multi-ethnic, very pluralistic society that had a lot of sort of pluralistic worship. And the Colossians had accepted Christ insofar as they had sort of invited Jesus to join the pantheon of other gods that they were also worshiping. And Paul is writing to correct this heresy. Paul is writing to impart knowledge. He is writing to convince them that Jesus is worthy of worship beyond all of these other gods or even anything else that you could possibly worship. His goal is to impart wisdom. His goal is that they would learn something, that they would grow in their knowledge. And we come to this main point here, understanding. But it's not just understanding. It's not just a one-and-done kind of knowledge. Look at the end of verse 10. "Increasing in the knowledge of God." It's an active verb, increasing, ongoing. The goal here is becoming lifelong learners. Not that you would learn this one thing and then boom, you're done, you're an elder, why don't you go teach that to other people? But that you would always be learning, every day, continuing to ask God to show you more things, to humbly get this understanding. In fact, as Paul says, all spiritual wisdom. The goal here is lifelong learning. And I think of this in sort of two ways. With our minds and with our desires. When we become lifelong learners, when we ask God to make us lifelong learners, there is something that requires us to renew our minds. In fact, Paul mentions this elsewhere in Scripture. If you think of Romans chapter 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, made new. He even says that in juxtaposition to the opposite. He says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The difference there is conformed, changed from the outside in. Transformed, literally the word that we get here is metamorphosis. Become something new from the inside out. It is the Spirit of God living inside of us that makes our minds new, fresh, renewed every single day to learn something new, to continue to increase in our understanding, not to be conformed by the image of this world. The second thing is pursuing God-given desires. Desires. Oftentimes, if I say, you know, Christianity is you get to do whatever you want. Well, few people that would give that a ringing endorsement. But what if we look at Psalm 37 and it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I read that for a long time as, oh, God will give you what you want. That's not what it says. God doesn't give you what you want. It says God gives you the want. It's not that he gives you the object of your desire. It is the desire itself that God gives to you if you delight yourself in him. So here's this Christian life two-step process. Chase after God's heart as passionately and as fervently as you can, and then do whatever you want. Because by that time, what you want will be what God wants. And if you are every single day renewing your mind and pursuing God's desires, your desires will change every day and they will become more and more like God's. And that is what it takes to become a lifelong learner. But remember, it takes humility. But becoming a lifelong learner also produces humility, conveniently. I have in my mind some examples, and I hope you do as well, of people that are lifelong learners, people that are teachable, people that are humble and always learning something new. And I got to tell you, it does not matter how old you are, you can be one or the other. I was at a church in Florida, and because of its location in Southwest Florida, we had a great deal of retirees. I think the median age was like 68. I was practically in the youth group there. I knew a number of older retirees that were just crusty curmudgeons, set in their ways, can't teach an old dog new tricks, that kind of a thing. You know what? I've been here before. I know what to do. Just do it, you know. But I knew just as many older retirees who had devoted themselves and committed to being lifelong learners. One man comes to mind. He blessed me so much. Older guy, retired. He had been a chemical engineer for a major company, oversaw a team of hundreds of people. And if there is anybody who was like, man, I'm just going to listen to what this guy has to say. But he was always saying things like, oh, that's a good point. I'd never thought about that before. If I ever referenced a book, often I would not be surprised that he'd go and buy that book and then read it and then want to talk about it and then say, oh, yeah, I really appreciated that. That's good feedback. And by the way, anytime he wanted to coach me, anytime he wanted to give me feedback, I was way more likely to listen. He was so smart and so wise because he was continually growing, because he was continuing to learn. He was a lifelong learner. And it comes in all shapes and sizes. One of my missionary heroes, someone to whom I owe a great deal. I know, yes, it was the Holy Spirit, but God used this man to help call me into ministry when I was 15 years old. A guy by the name of Frank Drown. Maybe you've heard his name. He passed away early last year. Frank Drown was a missionary in Ecuador in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and I think into the 80s maybe. He went in and discovered the bodies of his five murdered friends and had to drag them out in this remote tribal area of Ecuador. And he stayed and he invested in this people group, he and his wife, and they did translation work and they did radio ministry and they did all kinds of things that opened up doors. And then when they got older, they moved back to the States and to Canada, and they kept doing stuff. They kept giving back. They kept pursuing God. They kept learning more about new ways in missions and how to engage people well in whatever capacity that they could. And at age 98, Frank was still active in the ministry that had first sent him and his wife to Ecuador in the 50s. I hope that you know someone who is a lifelong learner, and I hope that you model your own practices and behaviors after them. But maybe, just maybe, we need to dig a little bit deeper. You might ask, well, why should we learn more? Why should we grow in our understanding? And let me say this. If you're ever reading Scripture and you think, gosh, I wish the author would just unpack this more, perhaps with several appositive or clarifying phrases, you're going to love Paul. I got to tell you, this is going to be a great series for you because he does it a lot. Run-on sentences galore. So verse 9, may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why, you ask? The answer comes right in verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work. We increase in our knowledge not just to be smarter. We increase in our wisdom and all spiritual understanding not just so we can pat ourselves on the back and get our sash for our, you know, Christian club or whatever. God is so less interested in how well you would do at Bible Jeopardy as he is in how you help to build his kingdom and draw others towards Jesus. To walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and to bear fruit. Bearing fruit, what does that look like? What does it look like to bear fruit? Of course, Paul gives us a nice list of 9 elsewhere in Scripture. But remember that fruit and spiritual gifts are not for us. They are for others. They are for the body. They are for drawing people outside of God's kingdom into God's kingdom. I hope and I pray that you increase in your spiritual understanding, not so that we can all have this nice club of smarties, but so that we can draw more people in and together we can glorify God by raising high the name of Jesus. We gain in our understanding so that we can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, this brings us to kind of a broader context, not just of what Paul writes here in verses 9 and then 10, but what he writes in all of Colossians and indeed all of his letters. He has this section, doctrine followed by conduct. Here's what you ought to know. Here's what you ought to do about it. And I am sure our students are sick and tired of hearing me say this, but if you spend so much time in Bible study and in gaining understanding about God and you don't do anything about it, you have wasted your time. If God's word is not actually transforming you in your life and affecting what you do Monday through Saturday, why are you even reading it? Paul's prayer for the Colossians is not so that they could be right and sit smugly in their self-righteousness. It's so that they could be an effective church in their community. And in the same way, every one of Paul's letters is like this. Here's some doctrine and here's some conduct. This is good theology. And I don't know if you've ever heard people say this, but I cringe so much when people, I don't like theology. It's just cold, it's impersonal, It's just facts about God. I don't like theology. I just want to be with God. I want to smack him. You're not describing theology. You're describing bad theology. You're describing incomplete theology. Good, healthy theology is not just right thinking. It is right doing. It is good doctrine and good orthopraxis. All right, soapbox done. So bearing fruit. And he lists two ways to do that. Being strengthened with all power, again, to build the kingdom and draw others to Jesus. And giving thanks to God. We're going to hit on this a lot in a moment. Giving thanks to God. Always, 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 always acknowledging the source of this wisdom, the source of this all spiritual understanding. Which brings us to the key to this whole issue. Remember that becoming a lifelong learner requires humility, but being a lifelong learner also produces humility. At the very end, in the last two verses, Paul uses some strong language to describe where they have been and where they are now. He says this in verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Domain of darkness? A little over the top, Paul, don't you think? He is reminding them where it is that they have come from and who it is that has saved them from that domain of darkness. Who it is they ought to be grateful to whom they ought to, anyway, grateful for transferring them into this kingdom of light. Because humility is the key to this whole thing. Now, maybe some of you have heard the old adage, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Anybody heard that before? I like that. That's good. I want to add another dimension. I would submit to you, this is Pastor Daniel's definition of humility. Humility is an accurate assessment of myself in light of an accurate assessment of God. Humility is an accurate assessment of myself in light of an accurate assessment of God. Because when we understand who God is and we understand who we are, the only response is to be humble. The only response is to bow before God and acknowledge him for all that he has done for us. And so it doesn't seem so over the top. And in that vein, I have to confess something. When I was first reading through this, I got this picture of Paul like he's just one of these guys that's just really exaggerative, just always saying things that are so over the top. You know what I mean? Even in this passage, he says things like, I always thank God. I have not ceased to pray. All spiritual wisdom and understanding, fully pleasing to him. All power, every good work, all endurance and patience, all the time, without ceasing, all fullest. And I thought of a character from a television show that I'm hesitant to tell you I watch, called Friends, and now you know what a reprobate your youth pastor is. But there was an episode of Friends where one of them dates this guy called Parker, portrayed quite brilliantly by Alec Baldwin. You know him as the best Jack Ryan. There will be no discussion. He is. Anyway, Alec Baldwin plays Parker, and Parker is this guy who is just over the top all the time. He has this energy that's infectious. He comes in, no, don't tell me, let me guess everyone's name. He's memorized them beforehand. Oh, is that a picture of a dog? Whose dog is this? That's amazing. Wonderful. And they go to this wedding reception. He's like, can you believe it? This night, this wonderful night of love. And, oh, I'll remember it forever here with you guys in event room B. Isn't it wonderful and the most memorable thing? Even a traffic jam. He's like, wasn't that the most fantastic traffic jam? The taillights were like 1,000 fairies glittered in the backdrop of the greatest city in the... Shut up already, man. And you might think, wouldn't it be great to be around somebody that positive and enthusiastic all the time? No, the gang soon gets really irritated with him. And in fact, they have to break up. Isn't this the most amazing breakup fight you've ever had in your life? Get out. And I confess, I read passages like this. I read the way that Paul writes, every good work, fully pleasing to him, all power. Really? All power? Like, aren't you just being over the top? Aren't you just exaggerating for effect? Aren't you just using hyperbole to illustrate your point? Maybe. Maybe. But if humility is a right assessment of myself in light of a right assessment of God, then let's ask the question, who is this God? Who is Jesus that you're telling us we ought to worship so much more above all of these other gods? The answer comes immediately after this passage. Starting in verse 15, this is the very meat of what Paul wants to say to the Colossian church. Verse 15, talking about Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. If that is the God that we are talking about, if that is this Jesus that you are trying to get us to worship above any other God, maybe, just maybe, what Paul is doing here is try to illustrate that because of the power that lives within them, because this God, this Jesus, has placed his Holy Spirit inside of you, there is no hindrance. There is nothing in the way of gaining all power and all understanding, having all patience and fully pleasing to the Lord. He is really getting across, you have this in you, not because of you, but because of who God is. We can pray to be strengthened with all power because God is omnipotent. We can pray to have all endurance because God's patience is never ending. We can pray for us to have all spiritual knowledge because God's wisdom and understanding is limitless. My notes say pause for amen, but that's fine. That's fine. No. 11 o'clock will get me. It's cool. I don't want your pity, amen. All right. The point here is that we can pray for these things not because we're going to be such great grade A Christians. It's because of the Christ that lives in us. It is because of how awesome Jesus is that we can say in seemingly over-the-top language, all power, never ceasing, fully pleasing to him. So let me give you just one example of that list, praying without ceasing. You look at that and you go, really, without ceasing? Don't you have to stop to eat or to sleep or to go to the bathroom, like without ceasing prayer? And I think about this, and I think Paul here, and not just here, but elsewhere in many of his letters, really hammers this point of praying nonstop, praying without ceasing, making prayer less about folding your hands and doing and reciting this before a meal, and about a lifestyle where you are in constant communication with God, where you talk to and about Jesus as if he was someone you really knew. My family had a friend that did this so well. We'd be in conversation, and she would just very casually and seamlessly slip in and out of these prayers. We'd be talking about something heavy on our heart or something we're struggling with, and she'd go right into, oh, God, please, I pray that you'd protect. And we'd, and she would slip in and out so seamlessly. And sometimes it was uncomfortable. And yet I realized, like, man, why don't I do that? Why do I have to be so sort of rigid and perfunctory with my prayers? Why do we treat them that way? Even, and I use this, I use this with my teenagers. It's a great way to shut them up if they're too rowdy. You know, everybody's around. It's a Wednesday night. They're, guys, come on. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you. Shh, shh. They quiet right down and they listen. But prayer without ceasing, where we are constantly in a mindset of prayer where it just makes sense if Jesus really has changed our lives, if God really has placed His Holy Spirit inside of us to guide us and to increase us in our spiritual understanding and wisdom, why wouldn't we talk like that? Why wouldn't we pray like that? Why wouldn't we, even as Paul does? I think Scott mentioned this last week. This is one of Paul's prayers where he sort of prays this for the church as he's writing it. He's sort of talking about it and then slips seamlessly into this prayer for the Colossians. Why wouldn't we make that our lifestyle as well? So when we have this model of prayer that Paul has, sometimes we, when we pray, alluded to this earlier, we hammer on asking God for things, or maybe just a big prayer of confession, or maybe just thanking God for things. And Paul, we see so often, he is always cognizant of using all of these elements. I think this is where we get this Acts model of prayer. In fact, part of praying without ceasing is knowing, if I have to ask for this understanding every single day because I'm a lifelong learner, I am going to be praying without ceasing. In fact, Paul frequently asks for things that he has just thanked God for receiving. It is the T and the S of the Acts prayer, you know, merged together. God, thank you for giving us spiritual understanding. God, please today give us more spiritual understanding. And if you are to be a lifelong learner, it takes the humility to pray that every day. God, thank you for revealing the knowledge of your will to me. Now, please keep doing that today too, because I sure need it. Because becoming a lifelong learner takes humility, but luckily, being a lifelong learner also produces humility. I'm a big fan of making things practical. There's an old saying, when you pray, move your feet. So don't just pray for these things, but I have just a couple of ideas for how that you can, through humility, seek to be lifelong learners even this week. I would challenge you this week, every single day, maybe first thing in the morning, right when you wake up, to pray that day that you would learn something new. Pray that you would learn something new. There's a whole lot of stuff to be learned. It's not that hard to pray to learn something new. One of the challenges to becoming a lifelong learner is the way that we learn things, the older we get, changes. You know, when you're young, you have to learn a whole bunch of stuff. You have to take all of the subjects in school. Even by the time you're a senior in high school, I was looking at some of your catalogs. Like, you don't even have to take math your senior year. What's that about? You get to pick and choose. Any of the English class, you're like, I get to take whichever one I want. Russian literature, fine. You know, that's probably not in English. Anyway, whatever you do. And then you get to college and you narrow your focus. And then you master's program or a PhD or something like that. And you're like just, there are people that have PhDs just in one section of Paul's book. You know, like, it's incredible. As we grow older, we learn more and more about less and less until eventually one day, hopefully, we'll know everything about nothing. But even if you are at that point in your life where you have so narrowed your focus, humbly, with humility, ask God every single day to open it up a little bit more. Today, let me learn something new. Second tip, one of the ways to do that, go into any conversation trying to learn something. Go into any conversation trying to learn something. Whether you are speaking to someone who is 4 years old or 104 years old, I promise you there is something you can learn. There is some way you can grow in your understanding. And if you go into it with that goal, you will be amazed at how often God answers that prayer that you would learn something. Next, Get to know people that are different than you. Get to know people that are far away. Get to know people that have a whole different set of shared experiences. Someone in a different generation. Someone in a different socioeconomic class. Someone in a different ethnic background. Someone in a different linguistic background. Someone just in a different Christian denomination than you. Oh man, those Methodists. Whatever it is, get to know someone different than you. Remember that Paul is writing to this group of people that have never met him. It takes this outsider that they have never met to correct this heresy that they have. Because in their pluralistic society, it was going to be very hard to break that cultural rhythm of worshiping many gods. And it takes Paul saying, no, you can't do that. Get to know somebody different than you, and you'll be amazed at how well it makes you a lifelong learner. And finally, with humility, always, always, always remember to thank God, even if he has already given it to you, with joyful praise, Paul says. Always remember to thank God. Always remember at the end of the day to look back and go, God, thank you for showing me that. God, thank you for increasing my understanding. Thank you for correcting that way of thinking. Because in humility, we have to acknowledge where this source of all spiritual understanding comes from. And it's not from us. It is from God. When we have a right assessment of who we are and a right assessment of who God is, we attain that humility, and it's that much easier to ask for spiritual understanding and become lifelong learners. And then when we become lifelong learners, we continue to gain that humility, and the cycle continues. And I pray that you would pray this for yourselves this week. I pray that you would grow in your understanding. I pray that you would seek to become lifelong learners. And I pray that as you pray for this, it doesn't just feel like you're talking to a wall. God, thank you so much for this group of believers. Thank you for this body of people that encourages me, that lifts me up, that corrects me, that I can lean on when times are hard, that I can be your hands and feet to bless. And God, I pray that we would all do that for one another, that we would lean on each other. Together, we would grow in our spiritual understanding, that we might have all the might you offer us in the name of your Holy Spirit that you have placed in us. Help us to seek after you humbly this week. In all that we do, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Two quick things throughout this series, the praying the prayers of Paul. Frequently, if not every time, one of the resources that we've used has a form prayer. This is kind of rewritten so that you can pray this prayer for yourself and one so that you can pray this for others. I will post that either today or tomorrow on the website and social media, and we'll have that for you. And then find a prayer to pray for understanding for others later on this week on those same platforms. The next thing is just remember that Sunday school and ABFs are on. If you don't know where you're going, chat with your leader, chat with Matt, chat with your Sunday school teacher, whomever you need to, and get ready. So thank you guys. Have a blessed week.